Sports Day for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. One round done and dusted. We've had plenty of dialogue on this program and on this radio station during the course of the day. Of course, mornings with Mark Duffield from a local perspective. Then there was a run home with Hayes and Mardo. Paul Hayes will be giving his spin on Fremantle's performance. We're going to certainly look at football after round one. After all, there are two games back here in Perth this weekend, so that's our very first taste. And I'm going to welcome Scott Cummings, who I'll be calling the action with on Saturday night when Fremantle take on North Melbourne, and then on Sunday when it's the Eagles against the Giants. So Scotty's going to join us and give us his spin on the events of the weekend, his thoughts on the West Coast Eagles and his thoughts on the Fremantle Dockers, of course, but also touch on a couple of the other issues. And pre-season, there was a lot of talk regarding Jason Horne-Francis, who did say even in his time at North Melbourne he wanted to be the best player in the AFL. Well, a pretty dominant performance in his first outing for the Power on the weekend. He was certainly a talking point. Now, there was a lot of conjecture regarding Rory Lobb and those players that left Fremantle and went to other clubs. Rory Lobb was completely anonymous for the Bulldogs against Melbourne on the weekend. He was very poor. There was a lot of other commentary regarding Ross Lyon. Why is he going back to coaching? But it was, wasn't it, in some ways, the Ross Lyon of old. He had his fingerprints absolutely all over that game yesterday. And it was an incredible proof of concept so early in his tenure. For Fremantle, where do we go? But it is only round one, so we can take a deep breath. Fremantle didn't start that well last season in round one, and we know how they got better as the season went on. But there's going to be a lot of talk regarding Nat Five. He was certainly a long way under par from his pre-season form in that game yesterday. Come and join us anytime on the Tempera Bedshed text machine, 0487 736 736. You can call us 13 12 55. We're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, and Kia, where you can find the award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento. Now, we're just not going to focus on AFL wholly for the hour. Last night, I needed a change of pace. And I like a variety of sport. And I flicked over and watched the second ODI involving Australia and India. And I saw two outstanding individual performances. Mitchell Starc with his five wickets. How often do you see Pfeiffer in an ODI international? And he went bang, 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 bang. And India were rolled out for, I think it was about 118. And then in the space of 11 overs, the Australians knocked those runs off. And I saw Mitch Marsh just absolutely clobber the Indian bowlers. It was just brilliant to watch. Mitch Marsh, who, of course, was part of the SEN commentary team during the BBL campaign, as you know, couldn't play for the Perth Scorchers, so he sat in the commentary box with yours truly for a number of the games here at Optus Stadium. And it got me thinking, actually, is he the best ever big heater of a cricket ball? Does he surpass the likes of Adam Gilchrist with what he can achieve? He just does it with effortless ease. A lot of people have spoken about Gilly being one of the power hitters in modern times. I'm just wondering where Mitch Marsh rates, because last night he had no discomfort whatever from the batting crease and was hitting every ball in the middle of the bat, and it was sailing into the grandstands. I'm speaking to Scott Muellerman a bit later on, who's had a lot to do with Mitch Marsh. Mitch often goes down to Muellerman's there, which has been there now for three generations, in Canning Highway there in South Perth. A lot of great WA cricketers have come through Muellerman's. Mitch Marsh is one of them, and Scott Muellerman has had a lot to do with him. And I'm going to chat to Scott a bit later on as well. But let's get into the AFL. Let's speak to a man that I'm going to be spending a lot of weekends with going forward from this weekend. In fact, we've got a double date on this weekend because both our teams are playing at Optus Stadium, Fremantle Saturday night, and of course, the Eagles on Sunday. Scotty Cummings, Happy New Year to you.
I reckon we're past that, Pete. It's good to talk to you again, mate. And I look forward to spending a lot of those weekend nights side by side with you, mate.
Yes, and we'll be calling two teams that exactly weren't that special on the weekend, Freo and West Coast. Let's go there at first base. How did you review their performances? Generally, it was pretty disappointing times too, wasn't it?
Disappointing is an understatement, that's for sure. I mean, I expected the Eagles to absolutely take care of North Melbourne, and they should have, but they were so far below par. It was really disappointing. And there are excuses for a couple. I mean, Oscar Allen's going to take a few weeks to find his touch and to get back into it. You got to keep in mind, and everyone's absolutely aware that he's missed an entire year of football. So, and nothing you can do in the preseason can emulate what's going to happen in round one and the rest of the home and away season. There's no doubt about that. So he's going to take a few weeks. So he can't be too hard on Oscar Allen, but there are other key players and I guess to start or to certainly help in the resurgence of the Eagles. Well, they went missing, and there's a couple of alarming signs for mine that popped up, and we'll obviously, Goss and I will go into it heavily tomorrow morning. But that puts all the pressure back on Adam Simpson, that performance, and I sort of I get a little bit annoyed when coaches come under pressure, and not that he has yet, but he will if they keep dishing that up. But it's not the coach who puts his head over the footy. It's not the coach that has to back into a pack. It's not the coach who has to run 50 metres to put a shepherd on. It's the player's responsibility, and they won't do it. And all the talk out of the Eagles over pre-season was that, you know, their mindset's changed. They are hungry. They are desperate because of last season. What happened? They hated it, didn't like it. They're all there for each other. Well, I didn't see any of that on Saturday, Pete, and that was a disappointing thing.
I won't steal a lot of your thunder from Scotty and Goss tomorrow morning from 6 o'clock here on SEN WA Breakfast. What about Freo? Again, that was disappointing. What a wry smile Ross Lyon had from ear to ear as he came down to the boundary after picking up the 4 points.
I reckon Rye's underdoing that, Pete. I reckon that was just blatant. And he was really happy. I mean, and so he should be too, because if you know what, have a look at the intent of St Kilda and compare that. I know they didn't play each other, but compare it to West Coast. St Kilda had 7 or 8 of their best 22 out of their starting lineup yesterday. And still got the job done because their attitude was bang on the money and their intent was was extreme. It wasn't the greatest game of footy to watch, but you can only you can only dish up what the best team you can put on the park. And Ross put his best team on the park that he had available to him, and their attitudes were spot on. And Fremantle's, I guess, and when I'll talk about this tomorrow, is Fremantle's lack of ability to change their game plan or change their style during a game. He's going to see them unstuck. They don't have a plan B. It didn't appear that they had a plan B. You know Ross Lyon's always going to stack the back on. You know he's going to get people in that back half and try and choke the opposition's forwards. But, you know, just the ease that they were allowed to run out of there. I'm not sure. But Bradley Hill must have a seriously contagious disease because no one wanted to go anywhere near him. And he just continued to run from that back half. And then, unfortunately, the forward line for Fremantle is still looking like the major issue. And that will take, in their defence, that'll take some weeks to gel and to get better. But Josh Tracy finally got his opportunity again after being in the wilderness for 12 months. Didn't take a mark, didn't allow a tackle. Luke Jackson, obviously we know how much Luke Jackson's getting paid, and it does take a little bit of time to adjust to new teammates and what they can and can't do and what they expect from you. But didn't take a mark. Put his hands to a lot of footies, but Luke Jackson's 200 centimetres tall, and he's an aerobic beast and an athlete. Didn't take a mark, Pete.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they sub tapping her off when they're struggling to kick goals. So it was Fremantle would be immensely. I mean, Justin Lomu must be immensely disappointed in what his blokes threw up on the weekend. There was a few that would can hold their head high that tried up. Brennan Cox was just a. He was impenetrable, wasn't he? And he grabbed he took an enormous amount of marks, and he was doing his absolute best, but they just kept going in the same way. St Kilda kept putting men back, and Freo kept bombing it in there to guys who were out at contests, which you don't see Johnny Marks now. So, geez, they both got some. Well, West Coast need to look in the mirror and have a look at what they stand for, and Freo need to make some adjustments and be able to make those adjustments. That's the main thing.
Okay, let's look at some of the other matches. Just touching the surface, you'd have been wrapped for Collingwood over Geelong. That was, to me, the best game of the weekend. There's no question, Friday
Easy.
Night. Geelong and Collingwood, high-scoring, free-flowing, end-to-end. And, for me, Nick Dacos just keeps getting better and better and better. One of the great shots was Dad Peter in the rooms. I tell you what, I know Dakes very well. He is so proud of his boys, but I tell you what, Nick is going to become some player.
He's a beauty, and if you listen to us very early in the year, Pete, I may have suggested just throwing $5 on Nick for the Brownlow at very big odds, so that'll only come crunching down. But he just gets the footy, knows where to be and when to be there, and most importantly, when the footy's in his hands, something good happens for his team. And Josh is, she's not that dissimilar. Obviously, an emotional night for the Dacosses with their grandfather passing away during the week, and all of that Dakes in the rooms. It was like he played. I don't reckon he celebrated that hard in the 1990 Grand Final win, but geez, he was happy, wasn't he? I reckon he might have been in a little box somewhere, Pete, tucking a couple of reds away, because he looked pretty happy when he was down there. That's for sure. But no, that was, and that game in itself. You talk about the game. When you compare that to Thursday night. You know, Richmond, Carlton, and which you sit there and go, well, those two teams are both way off the mark. And then you jump in and have a look at Collins. There you go.
I agree with you. Richmond and Carlton was interesting because it was a draw and it was close all night, but really it was a shadow of the game on Friday night, just a shadow. I tell you what, it's amazing what a change in clubs does for an individual. And this kid's only a kid. He's only a teenager. Didn't want to stay at North Melbourne, Arden Street. Has gone to Port Adelaide. Has topped the coaches' votes. BOG probably gets a 3 Brownlow medal votes. We're talking about Jason Horne-Francis. He could be a huge add to Port Adelaide's hopes of maybe finishing high in the AFL ladder this year.
Well, they certainly turned their form around, didn't they? And that, me and pre-season don't go well together. I've never been a fan of pre-season form, but I certainly didn't see Port Adelaide turning around that much against the team that we thought, I think, was going to sit on top of the ladder at the end and probably at the moment, before they played on the weekend, probably favourites for the flag. But Jason Horne-Francis, his second half was just... was amazing. And you could just, every time he touched the footy, we could see our mate Kane just getting really excited. Cornsey's been his massive, been his biggest advocate, his biggest supporter, no doubt about it. But he knows where to get the footy in. You're right, what you said there is spot on, mate. The bloke just looks happy, doesn't he? He looks happy to be home. He's obviously, he's obviously one of those people that needs to be around them, and that's fine. That's not a bad thing to be. But he looks happy, and he's got all the support of Port Adelaide. His teammates, and whereas at North Melbourne, mainly brought on by himself, to be perfectly honest, he probably lost a few players, but he's, last year, he looked like a petulant kid not getting his own way, but now he's only buying, he's where he wants to be, and he looks like he's going to be someone that we're going to be watching for the next 10 to 15 years, just rack up numbers week in, week out. He looked...
Okay, Scotty, just a couple of little dropouts with the phone. But as I mentioned, tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Scotty and Goss, full wrap on Scotty's thoughts of AFL Round 1. And no doubt we're touching on the news issues of the last few days. Can I ask you, for me, the big Round 1 losers were West Coast for me. Who were the big Round 1 losers for you? Do you agree it was West Coast?
It was West Coast, but no doubt about it, mate. That was horrible. But mind you, I've got to say, both our WA teams were probably the two losers of the weekend. Fremantle should have won that, and that's an away game they should take the points away from. No doubt about it. They are a better team than St Kilda. But St Kilda won the footy much, much more. But West Coast, to get that round one win would have been huge for them. But to lose to a side that we're all predicting will finish in the bottom two or three, is it's unacceptable, and there's no excuses this year for them, and they need to find someone in their ranks that's going to be able to get the boys and look them serious in the eye and say, this is unacceptable, this is not good enough, and we are not wasting another year of our football careers by playing that sort of footy. No. And I'm not sure who it is. I'm not sure who it is at West Coast.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who it is when they're playing a game. I'm not sure who it is, you know, in the change room afterwards or during the week. So we'll soon see, though. But careers are on the line at West Coast. I know it's round one, but careers are absolutely on the line.
And finally, as we let you go, the big winners for you out of round one?
Oh, Collingwood.
Collingwood for you?
Yeah, because a lot of people had them sliding down. A lot of people had them slipping down the ladder. We're saying, oh, they can't win all those close ones again. Well, I'll tell you what, they can. And they're a side now that's going to put every club that they play against, if they are not 10 up at three-quarter time, Collingwood's coming for them. And so that puts an enormous amount of pressure on them. I think they're the big winners for sure. Sydney looked good too. It was a really good win for them. I know it was against Gold Coast, who should be better than that. But Sydney did not bounce back, but their last game that we've seen them play last year was just horrible. Can have scars, but I thought the way they came back into it on the weekend and answered and got themselves on the right path from round one is a really good is a big win for them, both on the field and also in their heads.
All right, mate, go do some more homework for tomorrow. 6 o'clock, right in this studio, SENWA breakfast with Scotty and Goss, and I'll see you on the weekend.
Looking forward to it, mate. Almost bedtime for me here, so have a good show.
And, good on you.
I'll see you on the weekend, buddy.
Good on you. Scotty Cummings joining us here on SENWA. Just apologies occasionally. Scotty was dropping out. His mobile phone was probably in an area that wasn't too flash. But anyway, he gave us his thoughts. The big winners for me, I know Collingwood were the big winners for Scotty, but I thought Port Adelaide. I just was very impressed with Port against Brisbane yesterday. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're coming back with the top five for Novus. There's a Novus near you, 13, 22, 34. The top five at five on the other side of the break. And we're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, and Kia. And with their award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento.